This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Jesus tells his disciples a very strange parable in our Bible passage for today. But it's also one which gives ordinary people hope and encouragement. It's called The Labourers in the Vineyard, from Matthew 20, 1-16. But rather than read it to you this week, here I am singing it from my collection of parables on CD, Pearls of Great Price. The Labourers in the Vineyard. One morning round 6 o'clock, a man from round the block hired some men who were fine specimen to care for his vineyard stock. Tick, tock, tick, tock. At 9 o'clock, noon and 3, more came under scrutiny. Did exactly the same he hired, they came to care for his vineyard stock. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Much later the clock struck 5. He saw even more arrive. Didn't care about age, said he'd pay a good wage to care for his vineyard stock. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Then it was time to pay them all at the end of the day. They got the same wage, some fell in a rage. It came as a bit of a shock. Tick, tock, tick, tock. We've worked all the day in the heat, quite honestly worked off our feet. And it is not fair you made equal our share. You made us a laughing stock. Tick, tock, tick, tock. The master had done them no wrong. He asked why their faces were long. I'm a generous man and I give what I can to care for my vineyard stock. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Tick, tock, tick, tock. You can hear that song on my website, sheilahamill.co.uk. A Jewish theologian called Montefiore called this parable one of the greatest and most glorious of all the parables. In it, some labourers are given employment by the master during the course of the day, and they later receive the same wages as those who've toiled all day in the hot sun, even those who arrive right at the last minute are given the same pay too, so obviously there's trouble ahead. To help you fully appreciate the ill feeling that's beginning to brew among the master's employees, here's a drama for you this morning, which my friend Kevin Archer is going to help me with. Here's this drama, The Vineyard Workers.
Order, order. Everyone's attention, please. As from today, 24th September 2023, all new or casual employees will receive the following document, i.e. the new employment standards for vineyard workers, and they must abide by its rules. And so, from today, we insist these entitlements be put before the master forthwith. Number one, a maximum standard working day of 8 hours duration for all employees. Number two, a good day's wage for a good day's work. Number three, regular public holidays to be given and that our members be paid on these days. Number four, notice to be given well in advance of termination of contract and redundancy pay to be offered. And number five, As from today, no casual employees coming in at last minute or at any other haphazard time of the day will benefit from the same said day's wages as that of full-time employees. Are we as brothers and members of the union in agreement with this statement? Yeah!
Might I be allowed to advise you, as the Master's Secretary, that you should think carefully before handing this statement in to the Master? Before you all began work yesterday, you all agreed to work for the said wage. That wage was in your contract, which you all signed, and you accepted your pay at the end of the day. The Master is an exceedingly generous man. That's the top and bottom of it. Doesn't he have a right to do what he likes with his own money? I think you need to be very careful in the wording of your statement, or you may find that entitlement number 4, your notice of termination of contract and redundancy pay, may come sooner than you think.
Ridiculous! I've not heard of anything like this in my entire life.
Life doesn't always seem fair, does it? The workers in this parable who were offered employment and who've already been given their reward for working hard all day see others coming in at different times being given the same wages, and they're naturally angry. These newcomers haven't slaved as long as they have. Jesus draws a significant parallel here between the full-time workers' complaints in this parable and the actions of the scribes and Pharisees, who are furious at the thought of people whom they deem unworthy being given the same offer of God's grace and mercy. In other words, these leaders who hold privileged positions of great authority and have given a lifetime of dutiful service make light of the attention Jesus is showing to the outcasts, the lepers, the diseased and prostitutes and tax collectors, because their hearts are cold. In this next song, Abba Father, there's a prayer, never let my heart grow cold, never let me go.
Abba Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be evermore your own.
One of my all-time favourite songs from musicals is the song This Is Me from the film The Greatest Showman. It is sung by a group of circus characters who've been made to feel ashamed all their lives simply for being who God made them to be. A dwarf, a bearded lady, Siamese twins, an albino, a person of mixed race. An angry mob of locals protest that they don't want freaks in their town at a time when these people are beginning to make a success of their lives. In their new circus employment, they're beginning to feel valued and part of something grand for the first time in their lives. The greatest showman has brought them all together and given them a sense of worth, a sense of purpose, making them feel they belong, that they're part of a big family. They realise they have a right to be who they are. But in this song, they're angry for being excluded from a party. The greatest showman, unlike Jesus, shows a moment of weakness where he cares more what influential people think rather than considering their feelings.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, I'm gonna send the blood, gonna drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, cause here I come.
It happens the world over. We're in, you're out. We deserve this, you don't. We live, you die, because you're not one of us. You don't think as we do or believe what we believe. If you have ever been made to feel unworthy by others because of your race, your sexual orientation, your belief, your state of health, your lack of good education, or simply because you're a woman, it's others with their prejudices, their petty rules and jealousies who are wrong, not you. If Jesus is calling you to be part of his glorious kingdom, calling you to come to him and shine, then come, exactly as you are. You deserve to belong to God along with everyone else because God's got no favourites. This is why the tax collectors and prostitutes and women and the sick sought Jesus out. He was offering them hope, a new start and a place in God's kingdom. But they must have been acutely aware of the protests of the religious going on around them. They must have sensed their resentment and felt the chill wind of their scorn and disapproval blowing against them. Here's Laura Daigle with a song, You Say. Beautiful words.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure than just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
I read the most uplifting book just recently called Walking with the Wise, which had an amazing chapter on having belief in yourself as a child of God and not selling yourself short or allowing anyone to put you down. The following excerpt is from that book, which author Tim Binder gave me as a gift when I heard him give a speech at a celebration service recently. He quotes here a writer called Marianne Williamson, who writes this: "Who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are meant to shine as children do. We are born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." This next song, also from Pearls of Great Price, is called The Parable of the Light.
Place your lamp on a lampstand, hang it on a pole, place it onto the windowsill, but never under a bowl. Let it shine, let it shine. Ooh, let it shine for the good of all. Oh, let it shine. See how it lights up the whole room, even when it's small. So likewise, let your light shine for the good of all. Oh, oh, oh. Let it shine, let it shine. Ooh, let it shine for the good of all. Oh, let it shine. Let it shine, ooh, let it shine, for the good of all, oh, let it shine.
The greatest showman changes his ways, and he builds a glorious marquee well away from the ashes of their former building, which had been destroyed by the locals. Jesus, too, was building a new dwelling place, where God's glory could be manifested in us, living as one and loving one another and growing closer as a family in order to be a force for good in the world. It's the work of the enemy to manifest division, disharmony, hatred, and to stir up trouble, mob rule. Add to this the kind of behaviour we see in today's parable of jealousy and ingratitude, which comes directly from feelings of entitlement and superiority. So in a way, Jesus speaks to his disciples, telling them indirectly that all their service and deeds, or the fact that they're his followers, won't earn them a place in his Father's kingdom. To the scribes and Pharisees, he's saying that just because they're descended from Abraham and members of a chosen race, it doesn't mean to say they've earned a place either. Because God's gift of love and mercy are free gifts, and they're on offer to all who will respond. The big question today is, do you want to claim them? Our relationship with God is such that love and mercy can't be earned or bought. It's not down to how long and hard we've worked or how much good we do in life. God's love is free and unmerited. And his kingdom is available to all, just for the asking. And that is such an amazing gift. Here's one of the best versions of the hymn Amazing Grace, sung by Judy Collins and the Boys Choir of Harlem.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. Found. was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear.
Those who come seeking will find God when they seek him with all their hearts. We can all come just as we are and ask God to work through us, to use us for his glory. I seem to remember a story told by the late Catherine Kuhlman, who said that she was once walking down a cul-de-sac once, not realising it was a dead end. And because her life at that time had no meaning anymore, she fell on her knees and confessed to God that her life was like that cul-de-sac. A dead end, a nothingness. And she prayed, God, if you can use this nothingness to your glory, please use me. And you know, she became very gifted in the healing ministry. So let us pray. Lord God, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Help me to take that first step in your direction today. Let me not put off the decision to seek you with all my heart. For you have promised that if we seek you, we will be found by you. Come make yourself known to me. Be the light in my darkness, the peace in all my troubles. Give me direction and a purpose in life. I am yours. Amen. I'd like to end with a beautiful song by Angela Maughan and United Folk called Be My Clear Direction. But first, it's up to Andrew and myself to say goodbye for this week. We've run out of time. So goodbye from me, Sheila Hummel, and Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
Have a good week. Bye for now.
Today the road's been tough and I am weary, and I don't want to be involved, just close my mind. Want the world to go away and want to fight another day.
Want to be a fan, not close my mind.